Welcome to the Gear Garage Live Show. This weekly YouTube show covers whitewater rafting, river safety,
oh God, I lost my paddle,
gear, and anything else Zach feels like rambling on about.
It's great to be back on the live show. I've been gone for a few weeks, and I'll probably be gone for a few weeks after this. It's a busy time of year for me. You're probably all out boating too, so it's probably not a big deal. But we have a lot of questions today, so we're going to kind of get into things pretty quick. Here's our agenda. We're talking about River Hardware really quick, today's sponsor, and then answer questions. And it's today's sponsor. It's also like my company. This is something I've just been enjoying doing. I have a little online store that sells things and stuff I like, stuff that I think is good. I do a lot of classes. People show up with stuff that I'm pretty disappointed with. I'm just like, that's not good. And I have a hard time telling people that. Like, I do, but it's really hard to be like, hey, this expensive thing that you bought just sucks for these 8 reasons. Here's what you should have bought. And not to sell stuff I sell. I did this before. I just was really unhappy when people show up these big, terrible NRS throw bags or those little flip dangles that we call earrings or, I don't know, just weird pulleys that don't work and get rusty. And so we find the best gear, the gear that we use, we buy a bunch of it, we sell it. And it's really fun. And I just want to share this page about rescue gear that we don't have like a Z-Rig kit yet or a pin kit yet. We're going to work on packaging all together into one kit. But the idea is you build your own. Like you pick how many pulleys you want, how many prussics, which carabiners you pick. And these are all good. So you can't go wrong. We have pre-cut webbing slings because a lot of people, their webbing slings are like 10 feet long, which is basically useless. And if you do 3 D-rings on a raft, you need 30 feet minimum. So we have 30-foot webbing slings. And like the best pulleys, although we're having a hard time sourcing more of them, we have a few of these left. Just the best stuff. And so if you want to mix and match and make a great kit, do it. If you need to supplement your kit with more stuff or better stuff, it's here. I'm going to leave town here less than a week. And so orders will be really slow most of the month unless you order it this week. So I just want to give everybody a heads up. I'm pretty proud of this website. I'm pretty proud of the store and all the stuff we're offering. But if you want to make an order, do it the next week because the store will be very slow to ship after that. So let's move on to questions. And we have a lot, so I'm just going to get right into it today. The first one is asking, how low has the Illinois been run to your knowledge? I have no idea. I think people have done it pretty low. Like, I don't know. I'm just guessing like a couple hundred CFS. And that's at a couple hundred CFS at Kirby. And then there's Josephine Creek comes in. So I put in, I don't know, maybe 300, but maybe lower. I have no idea. It's not the rapids that worry me when it's low water. It's just there's a lot of flat water on the Illinois too. And it would just take a long time to paddle all that flat water with that much current. It'd be kind of, I don't know, be cool, but it would take a long time. Anyway, I know Cronin and friends run it in the summertime, but would like to get an idea of the CFS they others have paddled. Is it still considered a 4+ river when the water is super low? If you have questions about, I don't know what Cronin is doing. I know I see him out there. I don't think he does it in the summer. I think he does it in like May, but you should ask him. If asking me what somebody else is doing is the wrong person to ask. Like, ask him directly if you want to know. I don't know what CFS he does it at. I know some people have run it lowish. Maybe check out Bill Tuttle's website. If you haven't been to creekin.net. Let me see if I can find his Illinois description. For those of you that don't know, oh, that's not it. Let me Google it. CA Creek. He changed it a few years ago. CACreeks.com. Let's see if that's it. Yeah, I'll bring this up. Look at his website. He does a lot of low water duckying. And you just look at the index. Let's find the Illinois. I bet he talks about it or has photos of it low. He says IK minimum 400 CFS. And you could probably do it lower. That's just what Bill says. And I bet you there's some photos of here of people in super low water IKs because that's how Bill rolls sometimes. I guess I don't see any low water IK photos. This would be a good place to look to get more information about ducking in particular because that's what Bill's good at. He's good at ducking. Is it still considered a 4+ river? So when rivers are super low, they rate, they're on almost a different rating scale because sometimes it's not about running the rapid. It's just about your physical fitness. Can you jump out on rocks? Can you portage? if you portage all the class four rapids, it's class three, I guess. I'd still consider it a four plus river when the water's low for sure. The rapids probably get way more dangerous. They're probably sieves everywhere and they're more technical. But it's a different style completely. And I say like that low water style that I call Chedco style is more about your physical fitness, having feet, shoes that stay like on wet rocks, being dressed correctly for just running around and being a ninja. If you're out of shape, that low water boating is probably not for you because it requires too much being a ninja. Okay. Also, have you ever done the Deer Creek to Illinois section? I've never done Deer Creek. I've done the Illinois above there, but I've never done Deer Creek. I've done almost everything in the area and never taken time to do it. It looks awesome. I drive by it all the time. Yeah, it looks cool to me too. I hope to do it someday. All right, here we go. Rando question. What material do you guys use for the letters on your boat names to get them to stick so well? I don't put the boat names on boats. That's not something we do. We buy the boats and the manufacturer does that. So I would ask the manufacturer. So first of all, our wings, we have a bunch of wings. The letters don't stick very well. It's awful. I just saw a bunch of our boats the other day. The letters are peeling off. It's embarrassing. And so I wouldn't say they stick so well, especially in the wings. But if you see one of our wings and you think they're sticking well, call Wing and ask them what the material is. Sotar does probably a different process, Air a different process. So I just go with what the manufacturer does. I don't actually do it myself. I wanted to add a name to our sight raft, and the best I could think of is a vinyl cut letters, but don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Ask that. This is a great question for somebody who does boat repair. That sounds like you might want to ask them. Okay. Hi, I'm hoping you can help me choose a life jacket. I do mostly class three, four rivers and occasionally a four plus or five rapid because I'm not a great swimmer. And because I have Parkinson's, I'd like a life jacket better than what guides typically provide. Should I buy a type one, type five or something else? Okay. So a life jacket better than what guides typically provide. This really depends. I'm going to assume you want flotation. Flotation is a really good thing in a life jacket. I mean, so flotation's huge. That's probably the biggest thing. How much does it float you? And a lot of people will say, well, it doesn't matter because you're neutrally buoyant and it keeps your head above the surface the same. Not true, because I've tried multiple life jackets on. And the one with more flotation floats my head higher. But also, it's not about how high your head is floating in like a static situation. It's when your body goes down deep, how quickly do you resurface? More flotation means you resurface faster. So the ones guides typically provide, I don't know what that means. Does that mean like, if are you a passenger on a commercial trip and you want one better than the company provides? Is that what you're asking? Most companies provide the highest flotation life jackets. Like guides are typically wearing kayakers, bare minimum 16 pounds of flotation life jacket. They look cool, they're expensive, but they don't float you very well. They don't float you high very fast. Well, even the guides you're wearing these 16-pound flotation PFDs that look cool and have pockets, they're giving you one that usually has 25 pounds of flotation. So I would make the case that if you're getting a PFD from a guide, you're probably getting a high float PFD. It may not look as cool. It may not have all the pockets. It may not be as comfy. It won't be as comfy. But in terms of safety, it's a better PFD. Should I buy a type one, type five, or something else? The type, okay, so here's a quick rundown of type. Type one is like type one and two are like if you fall out of an airplane and you're unconscious or whatever, you fall out of a boat and you just want to be face up. They turn you face up. That's all type one and type two do. Type three allows you to go on your stomach and aggressively swim towards rescue. A type three PFD, which is the standard PFD for what we do. It allows you to get on your stomach. It doesn't force you on your back. It allows you to self-rescue, assuming the rescue is close. So if you fall off an airplane, you're in the ocean, you want a type one or two, it just puts you on your back. If you fall asleep, you're on your back. If you fall out next to a raft, you don't want to be in your back. You want to get on your stomach so you can swim to the raft. That's what a type three PFD is. It's extra buoyancy to help you while you swim back and help self-rescue. So that's type three. That should be what you should be thinking about. Type four is a throwable device. I don't know, something else, doesn't matter. Type five is just a type three with adjustments. So like the one that the company gives you is a type five because it has a little neck pillow thing. And other ones are type five because they have a little safety rescue harness. And some are type five because they have what the Astro YTV, the most minimal PFD of all time, is type five because it's an over the head PFD. So Type 3 or 5 simply just mean like they're basically the same thing. Just 5 is a type 3 that's been adapted or adjusted or something like that. Now what I said just now is a huge generalization of the type system. So I might have made a couple like over exaggerations or like skip some corners there. But don't worry about the type. Worry about flotation. Flotation is good. Some people are going to be like, no, you don't want flotation. If you go into a hole, you want to be able to swim to the bottom. Whatever, sure. If you look at how people die, it's not getting beat down the holes that much. It's flush drowning. Flush drowning happens when you don't get the surface in water for a long time. We're not going to go into the AW accident database because you will see a ton. Let's do it. Actually, let's take a second to do it because I want to see how people are dying in whitewater. I guess it's an appropriate time. AW accident database. And I just looked at the other day. There's a lot of one boat trips. All of you that are like, oh yeah, one boat trips are perfectly fine. Like, just look at the database. Here we go. Top one, raft flush drowning. Like, that wasn't them stuck in a hole because their PFD had too much flotation. That was they went downstream and flotation would have helped. Haven't read the thing. Here we go. Raft pinned. Here we go. One boat trip, high water. Flotation would help there, although that's an injury, not a fatality. PFD not worn. PFD not worn. One boat trip, high water. PFD not worn. One boat trip. Three one boat trips in a row. PFD fell off. PFD not worn. One boat trip, flush drowning again. So people like, maybe they got recirculated in the hole, and that can happen. But I don't think that like the key to escaping holes is your low flow PFD. The key is like when you're floating downstream that you get to the surface quickly and that your head's well above the water. Okay. Just based on like what I'm reading. But I want you all to notice like one boat trip is all over this. Not wearing a PFD is all over this. Cold water is all over this. High water is all over this. That's just cold water, high water, no PFD, one boat trips are just all over fatalities. Just they're very common occurrences. Okay, back to this question. So my answer is should I buy a type 1 or type 5 or something else? Don't worry about the type too much. You want a type 3 or 5. You want flotation. And the guides are probably giving you the highest flotation jackets that exist. So you're probably fine with what the guides are giving you. Now, if you want, as a private boater, I'm going to suggest, I have it here, the Justin Bieber. This has like 22 pounds, 9 ounces of flotation. It doesn't have a neck pillow. The neck pillow also just sits high. I'm not even sure that provides that much flotation because it's usually out of the water. But if you want a cool PFD, don't get this one because it's not that cool. But it has good flotation. It's probably the best overall rafting PFD there is. And I'm not going to call it great. It's good. It could be way better. These pockets here they put here are really cool for your hands, but they're also really good for getting your oars stuck into when you're shipping your oars. And the pockets are pretty weak sauce, and it looks super dorky. But if you're going to buy a rafting PFD, this is the one I'm going to suggest for almost everybody. Like this is, I'm now thinking, like Astro made their Indus. It's fine if you're thin and not tall and not left-handed. But for most of us, I think the Justin Bieber, the NRS Big Water Guide is the way to go. Okay. We have a comment. Let's see what's going on. If one were to add a single IK to the quiver, what would you think about wing jumbos? Oh, geez. We're getting to a whole other. I mean, sorry. I'm getting sidetracked from our other questions. A single IK, it depends what you're doing. Are you creaking? Are you big water? Are you a good kayaker? Are you new to kayaking? I need a lot more information. I don't think the wing jumbo is your single IK quiver. It's really good for the Chetco. For that person who wants to do multi-day low water Illinois, that's it. That's the best boat for it. So it can heavy payload, super forgiving, but I wouldn't want it on a high water. I wouldn't take it down the Grand Canyon. It's just too boxy and bulky for that. It's really designed for like multi-day low water stuff. It's a sweet boat. It's also really expensive. To me, the boat I'm going to make a little plug for something I'm selling too. The Hi-Side Padillac for the average, this is what we use commercially. For if you know nothing, you just want the most forgiving, durable thing, the Padillac's the way to go. And I have two new ones I'm selling for $1,100 each. So if anybody wants to buy a Padillac from me, I have two brand new ones in the box. I'm selling for almost half off. This is a very forgiving boat. This is for just like cousin Joey's coming. Let's throw him in a ducky and he'll have fun. And it's very forgiving. If I personally was going to get a ducky, I'd probably either like a Sotar or a Thrill Seeker or maybe an Air or something. I bet Sotar is making something pretty cool right now. I haven't looked at their duckies in a while, but I bet they have something. Let's see, kayaking, SL kayak. The SL kayak is, there's not a lot of information here. Oh, here we go. I've paddled these a bunch. I think it could be better, but it's just a good boat. There's ways to improve it for sure. But if you know how to kayak, if you have skills, if you can lean a little bit and avoid getting thrown up on rocks, and you have, because they're not very forgiving, but they're very maneuverable. They go through bigger water. This is what I want the Grand Canyon for, bigger water stuff. This is a Thrill Seeker. I'd probably go with that. If I'm experienced, I want like a surgical weapon. I'm doing bigger water stuff, probably this. I'm doing low water multi-day, the Wing Jimbo. And if it's just for cousin Joey, I'd go with the Padillac. Chuck, hopefully that helps. Sorry, I was all over the map on that one. All right. And by the way, I'm going to go through. I have a lot of questions. If y'all have questions, ask them in the comments now. Because once I'm done, we're done. But if you have questions I'm going to get to, like Chuck, I'll be happy to get to them as we go along. So hopefully I answer this question. The quick answer is the jacket the guides are giving you is probably really good. Okay, Skykomish. Are you familiar with Boulder Drop, a class 4 rapid on the Skykomish River in Washington? I've never done it. I've just seen people videos of it, I think. It's like kind of hard, probably class 4. I think the high water people have problems. I think it's that one. If yes, so the answer is no. How does it compare to Middle Fork Salmon? It depends on, from what I know about it, it depends on, is a high water Boulder Drop, low water Boulder Drop, high water Middle Fork, low water Middle Fork? I have no idea. I've been rowing for almost a year now, 40 to 50 trips, primarily class 3. I've ran Boulder only a handful of times. It's the hardest rapid I know, so I'm using it as comparison. Hoping Middle Fork Salmon is within my skill level. I'm support for my kayaking buddies, taking my 14-foot Sotar Classic too. I've 40 to 50 days. My advice for you would be, if you're support for your kayaking buddy, so you're probably gonna be kind of heavy, which is a bummer. That's a bummer. And hopefully you're not the only raft, because if you get stuck, it's really hard for kayaks to get out of their kayaks to help you. Like another raft will help because they can like get stuck too and help get you. But if you get stuck on a rock, if it's low water, which I'm guessing you're still going this season, it'll be low. Kayakers are not that helpful because they have to get out of their boat, take out their stuff, get to you, get back to the boat. It's a huge pain. You don't have a ton of experience. It's hard to say. Yeah, it's just hard to say. Depends on your date. It also depends on, do you want an adventure? Are you all going on an adventure, or are you trying to go on a relaxing trip? If you're like, I want to take on the river and challenge myself and overcome all obstacles, and I don't mind getting to camp in the dark and being cold, you're probably... that's a trip you're probably, you have the right attitude. If you're like, no, I just want like this nice 6-day flow where I see a bighorn sheep and sit in hot springs, I'm guessing that's not going to be the trip you're at. But who knows? It's hard to say. But if you're styling, so also, if you're surviving Boulder Drop, that doesn't mean a lot to me. Like your boat started at the top and got to the bottom, and you didn't flip or wrap. That didn't mean you did a good job. That just means you got through it. Are you styling? Are you catching every eddy? Are you just in control the whole time? If you're in control and Boulder Drop the whole time, you're probably in good shape. If you're just like getting from top to bottom, that's a different skill level. Okay. Also at flip practice, I couldn't ride my cat. I had to swim it to shore. It's a 20-plus-year-old Moravia, 13 by 24. So kind of big tubes. I bounced, pulled, put my weight into it. 135, 5'7". Yeah, that's tough. In flipping boats, weight and height are the huge advantage. Like, it just, I'm a tall, heavy dude. So like, I can flip boats. Not being tall, not being heavy makes it really hard. And just couldn't get it right set up. Cut my hands on the strap from pulling so hard. Wearing gloves next time. I mean, if the next time is when you flip on the river, you won't be wearing gloves. You're not going to like get your gloves out of your dry bag and put them on and reflip it probably. Maybe you will. I don't know. But like, you need to be able to do it without gloves. I used a 9-foot strap on the middle D-ring on the outside of the tube for the flip line. I'm thinking 2 straps, flip lines, and 2 people. Yeah, I mean, 2 people is better than 1 for sure. Yep, 2 people helps. I'm an advocate for flip lines, like real flip lines. And so I have this one here. This was something you would carry in your PFD. So you carry it in a pocket, or like you shove it between your chest and your PFD, somewhere you can get to it. I usually have a carabiner on the end. So I can clip it onto a D-ring. And so I'm a big advocate of a real flip line. This is 1-inch tubular webbing. It would be hard, and it's soft. It'd be hard to cut your hand on this. It's good stuff. And if you try to flip a boat, let me attach this over here, with just a rope like this, your hands have to grab really tight and they slip, and that's when you cut your hand. I teach, which some people think I'm totally unsafe and stupid for teaching. So I want to caveat with this. This is not 100% like safe, but like nothing we do is 100% safe. You're flipped on a raft. You're in an inherently unsafe spot to begin with. If I make a loop out of this, I'm now violating some sort of clean line principle because I have a loop in the rope. This is something that I could get tangled in. So I have to be aware this is something that could cause an entanglement. But I will take that possibility of entanglement, which I think is low personally, so that I can now have a loop that I can lean back on. Instead of grabbing something like this where I slide my fingers, I have to hold on tight, I can now just pull back on this loop and get a second person on it. I can be over here, my friend can be here, and 2 of us can lean back without having to grasp really hard. So I'm a fan of modern flip lines, and I will choose to make a loop out of them. Like maybe don't have it as a loop in your PFD. Maybe just have it like this. And if you're not doing it, make a loop out of it and then grab the loop, practice with it that way, because it's easier long to, and use all your weight and lean your head back. The key is leaning your head back. Once your head back, you put all your weight there. If you're too busy gripping this thing, it's really hard to just let go and lean your head back. But if you have something you have a solid grip on, you can really lean your head back. So we sell, speaking of River Hardware, this is something I sell on riverhardware.com. I have them imported from Europe. This is a palm thing that my friend brings me from Europe, and I'll bring it up here. This is the palm snake sling, and it's sweet. They're really well made. They're awesome. The other thing is these are thicker. They're an inch, so it's less likely you're going to hurt your hands on them. Oh, it's possible. But also, palm makes this cobra sling, which is this fancy stuff. It's thinner, though. And I've talked to several people who hurt their hands on it. But it's way lighter. It packs way smaller. And it's lighter and smaller, which is really nice. It packs better in your PFD. And right here somewhere, here's a prototype. I ran out of these. I sold out of these palm cobra things real fast. I sold 40 of them in like a month. And I don't have any more. They're in Europe. So I'm prototyping a new one. Let me get back to here. So that, I think that palm one is 10 millimeter. This is 12. And I'm prototyping this one. This is what the thinner ones look like that I will hopefully sell at some point at River Hardware. I did break it testing it. So yeah, this is me testing it at 10 kilonewtons, which is a lot of force. It broke because I think that these are really useful for flipping your boat back over, but also amazing for creating a 2-point anchor in your raft. So if you're stuck and somebody's throwing you a line, you want a 2-point anchor on your raft. This is really great for that too. I gotta hang up this phone. This works too, but these are, if you know how to do it, are a really snazzy way to make a 2-point anchor. So if somebody pulls on your boat with a 3-to-1 or whatever, just a regular rope, you have a 2-point anchor. So I want these to be strong. So I'm prototyping these. Maybe in a month or two, I'll have some for sale. We'll see. And Josh loves his. Josh, do you have the Cobra Sling or the Snake Sling or something else? When you say you love it, what are you talking about? So anyway, my answer would be like, try it with a loop because you don't have to grip as hard. And also like a 24-inch tubes, it's just hard to flip a 24-inch tube boat. Like, I know you own a 20-year-old boat. That's what you have. But at your size, I'd go for like a little 11-foot Sotar wing boat with smaller tubes. It'll be easier to flip. Maybe have a narrower frame. I don't know how wide your frame is, but the wider your frame is, the harder it is too. Standard distance between tubes is 36 inches. If this is a 24-inch diameter tubes with like a 40-inch between tube diameter, like, yeah, that's hard to flip. So part of it's your boat. Part of it's probably practice. Part of it's just you're small, unfortunately. And part of it is like what you're flipping with. Instead of just using this like 9-foot strap, getting yourself a good flip line will really help. Okay. Hopefully that helps. Okay, wing inflation. I'm lucky enough to have a new wing raft, the 14-foot 6 Williamson. I'm going to brag about this. I designed this boat. I think it's perfect. I love these boats. I'm going to say they're not perfect. The design is perfect. There's a few issues with some things about them, but like they're amazing. Since you run wings, I was wondering what inflation ranges you usually run. I have no idea. I just pump it up and tap it with my hand and it's good. Like I never measure inflation. It's something I just don't do. Okay. Also, my friend claims I want to blow it up to its max inflation and leave it like that for a bit to break it in and smooth out various waves in the tube welds. Is this true? I've never heard that. I've never done that. Seems like you might want to call Wing. I bet Wing would have an answer to that one. I mean, both things. Like, what inflation range do you run? And do I break it in? These are things I've never heard of that, but maybe you should. I think you're fine without doing that. Cool. Yeah. I mean, I literally, like any boat, I just pump it up and I tap it and go, yep, that's about right. It's maybe that's experience or it's just whether it's 3 PSI or 3.5 PSI. I don't really care. Like it's not a big deal to me. Okay. I recently went deep in the river knife rabbit hole, man. As a lot of you know, I have like probably 20 videos about river knives because I've been obsessed with finding the right river knife. So yeah. I had the CRKT Bear Claw and loved it like you did. Yeah, I mean, I think it's the best externally mounted knife. There's a company, Walker Knives, that I'm going to get one of these soon to try out because I haven't. They're expensive. Walker Knife Company. Let me pull it up. That could be better. I mean, I think it was designed by a river guy. Designed like the homepage has on a PFD. I'm going to try to get. They're expensive. I mean, $265. But and the serrations don't look great, but I don't know. Like for $265, maybe it cuts a rope like a dream. I have no idea. But and this is looks like it could be a sweet external knife. But barring this being amazing, which I don't know yet, I would say I have one here. That if you're gonna rock an external knife, I just think the Bear Claw is the way to go. And I have one here. This PFD we talked about earlier. I call it the Justin Bieber. It doesn't have a good pocket, so I don't put a knife. I'm a person who likes putting my knife in a pocket. A lot of you probably know that. These pockets suck, so I carry an external knife when I run this PFD. And my knife of choice is the Bear Claw. Great knife. This is the new one, the VEF serrations. It cuts rope well. You put your finger through it and hopefully don't lose it. You can dock holiday it all you want. You can put it back. It's awesome. I tried all the external knives. This, to me, is the best one. Okay. Anyway, let's get back to your question. I'm on a rant. Oops. Let's add this back. Until mine was stolen by a river nymph. Oh, that's sad. I hard shell IK and raft while my knife immediately accessible with either hand, even when I'm being tumbled in a hole. So no zipper pocket solutions for me. I think accessible at both hands is smart. And get it from here and get it from here. I see a lot of people putting their knives up here and they have a hard time getting to it with that hand. So you want to, I agree having it accessible both hands, but even when being tumbled in a hole, I do not want a knife in my hand when I'm tumbled in a hole. That's not even a priority for me. If I'm tumbled in a hole with a rope, pulling a knife out while I'm being tumbled in a hole is not going to solve that problem. Like, yeah, hopefully don't let that happen. Don't get tumbled in a hole with a rope. Just don't tell your friends, don't throw your throw bags when you're in a hole. Like, I don't know, have friends that are smart and don't have too many ropes around. So Yeah, that's not a priority for me at all, but I think immediately accessible with both hands is great. And I think the zipper, the pocket solutions are great because you can just open the zipper and pull it out. It takes like 3 more seconds. It's not a big deal. If you practice and you put your knife in the same place every time, whatever. Like, and new knives, I mean, here's this one's not a river knife, but like a high quality, this is a Spyderco. A super high quality Spyderco is going to open up no problem, right? You're going to pull, you're going to unzip your zip, pull it out, boom, and cut stuff. And this will, this knife will cut better than this knife or other Spydercos, any external knife out there. And but I haven't seen the Walker knife yet. Maybe the Walker knife is better than the Spyderco, but like you lose a little bit of time in getting to it, you gain a lot of time in this ability to cut. Okay, sorry, I need to get back to the question. I haven't sure got to it yet. Where are we at? Question, add to stage. Okay, so no zipper pocket solutions for me. Yeah, if the only reason you're not zipper pocketing is because you're worried about getting your knife while you're tumbling a hole, that's a bad reason to not go zipper pocket. Like, accessing your knife while being tumbled in a hole is insane to me. But maybe you have some other cool insight. All right. Inspired by the seatbelt cutters, see image one. Do I have image one here? Oh, cool. Inspired by the seatbelt cutters, I looked for a river knife with the same protected blade, but with a big enough opening for climbing rope, which people often use for balance, pin kits, and more. I found several that looked promising, but all the knives had some flaw. Opening too small, handle too flimsy, blade, blah, blah, blah. I settled for an NRS Copilot, which is an awful knife, which feels a little small in my hand, but it's a good compromise. No, it's awful. That knife is awful. I'm happy overall, but do feel like I've settled for something less than ideal, and then an NRS Pilot would still leave me wanting. Yeah, those knives are terrible. I mean, they don't cut rope. They can cut rope. It's possible, but like they're not knives. They're just like, they're technically knives made for life jackets. So they're technically river knives, but yeah, this thing is way better. Like you should go back to this. Like that poor river knife stole your good knife. Okay. So where are we at? Blah, blah, blah. Okay. So the problem with seatbelt cutters, okay, so we're inspired by these things. The problem with seatbelt cutters is we think in our heads that the reason we have river knives is that we're tied to a rope and we're underwater and we have to quickly get our knife and cut the rope. And although that does happen, that is not the only use case for river knives. If you look at AW accident database and look at how people have died with entrapments, there's been several where people's spray skirts get caught on something and they have to cut their spray skirt free. You're not going to cut your spray skirt free with either one of these, this new knife design or old knife design. Like this is what you're designing here is something designed to cut rope. And in our heads, we're thinking, oh, I'm getting a river knife to cut rope when I'm hooked on with one leg to a rope underwater, which doesn't, we worry about, but is not as common as you think. It's way more common to be cutting spray skirts with our river knives, I think, than other things. I heard a lot of stories that people need to cut their spray skirts off or other things. You're caught on like a strap from a bag, or you have to cut through your raft. You have to cut your raft open because somebody's pinned under it. Somebody got pinned under a raft on Dinosaur last week. And, you know, the only solution for that is usually cutting the raft floor. You're not going to cut it with this new knife design. But if you had something that could cut, you can cut this. This will cut a raft floor. This probably will not cut a raft floor, but it might. It'll do better than your new design. So, like, I'm going to say, like, as important as it is to have a knife that can cut that rope that you're worried about when you're dangling underwater, we're all worried about that. It's equally important as cutting through raft material, cutting through spray skirts, cutting through things you didn't even anticipate that are out there. So that's why I'm a fan of this knife, because usually you're like, if you have, like, I know you're going to have your new knife design. Like, you're all going to do your, like, quick one-handed access well on a hole. But, like, when somebody's pinned under a raft, you have nothing to get to that, to cut that raft floor open. Or if your spray skirt is tangled on a tree, you have nothing to cut that open. Where a flip open knife in your PFD is quietly slower access. You can't get to it in a hole, but it's way more versatile for a way more variety of things. An NRS Pilot is not cutting through a spray skirt or a raft. It just, bleh, I hate that knife. Hate's a strong word. I dislike that knife. Okay. I propose we design a river knife and work with NRS or somebody to get it manufactured. Okay. I'm not going to do this, but thanks for asking. But if you do this, please do not work with NRS. NRS is not a knife manufacturer. They are a catalog and website. Go to a knife manufacturer, not a website, to make your knife. I've diagrammed it. What I think would be a great start. I love your feedback as well as feedback from your audience. I was not looking for fame or fortune. I just want the best river knife available to everyone, including myself. Yeah, I mean, it would be, we all are wanting. This is a thing. We all want a better river knife. We all, yeah. And I would love to work with like Spyderco, Gerber, CRKT, a knife manufacturer, and design what I think is the best river knife, both an external knife and an internal. I would love to do that because I have a flaw with every single river knife. And it's frustrated me for so long. You probably know this, that I've just decided that like the, to make this really simple, with what exists now, if you're somebody who feels like they need an externally mounted river knife, this, the Bear Claw, it's a great knife. It does the trick pretty much. If you are somebody who wants an internal knife, get yourself, and I have it in my pocket, get yourself a Gerber Easy at Rescue knife. This is a great knife. It's like 40, 50 bucks. It's not like the Spyderco. If you want a better knife, get a Spyderco. The Spydercos are amazing. 150 bucks, maybe, I don't know. They're expensive. But like for 50 bucks, get this. When I rock this PFD, it has extra flotation. If I'm in my Astral green jacket, which I'm not in anymore, but if I'm in some 16.5-pound vest, I don't need knives all over my body. I need one knife. Either go with this or go with this. If I'm wearing proper, adequate flotation like I am now, I'm okay having this. This is my quick access knife. And this one I have to dig for if I have to cut through a raft or cut a spray skirt. Or like, this actually cuts rope way better. Like if I actually just like have an extra 10 seconds, I want to cut rope, I will always go for this instead of this. Because this Gerber and almost every one of these knives, the Spydercos, the whatever's, the folding knives almost always cut better than the external knives. And I don't know why. That shouldn't be the case, but it's reality. Okay, so blah, 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 including myself. Yeah, the design uses stainless steel utility knife blades with cheap replacements available. Yeah, I mean, I think I've thought about knives a lot, and I realized I would design something. Like, let's say Spyderco is like, Zach, we want you to design our next river knife, and I would make it imperfect. I think I could do a good job, but I think we all have an idea of what we want. And what we need is a knife that can cut rope, a knife that can cut rafts, a knife that can cut spray skirts, a knife that can just cut things, and something that we can access pretty quickly, whether it's externally mounted in our PFD or in our pocket. We want access from with both hands, and something that's not dangerous to us. Like a lot of people will take this knife and mount it up here, but have the blade pointed towards their neck. Like, let's not do that. You want the blade pointed away from your neck if it's externally mounted. So sorry to disappoint you, person who has a good idea for a knife. I'm not going to get in the knife building business with NRS. And I think this is a cool idea for specifically cutting ropes, but I think that it's not what I would personally use. Sorry. Okay, here we go. This is every time I mention knife, somebody says, try this knife, blah, blah, blah. I own like 30 different river knives. Let's Google this and find out what we got. This is the Maxim. I've tried them all. Everybody said, try this knife, try that knife. And I bought them and I try them. I test them. I see how they cut rope. I see how they mount. Let's see what this thing is. And I'm at the point where I can just look at something and tell you, whoa. Yeah, this is $22. This is actually pretty sweet. This is just a really good copy of the Gerber Easy at Rescue knife, right? Russ, I mean, for $22, just first of all, you get what you pay for. You're getting a $22 knife, but it checks off all the boxes. It has the finger opening. You can open your finger. It has a full serrated blade with like a lot of serrations, not like little wimpy serrations. Blunt tip. This checks off all the boxes. For $22, I don't have one. I'm not going to buy one because I'm going to spend the 50 and get the Gerber because it's just tried and true. But if you're on a budget, I think that's a cool knife. I'm from what I see in the photo. But if I want to go, this is sweet too. The Bird Caracara 2, huge fan of this one. This is the Bird is the Spyderco, a little less expensive versions. And it's got a bigger serrated edge than the Gerber. It's a little harder to open. It's a little like clunkier to open. But this is a sweet knife too. And $41, a sweet knife. What's this? Rescue 3 lightweight. Yeah, this is an actual Spyderco rescue. Now we're getting into the $114, the assist. This is a baller knife. For $129, I mean, I carry this in my – right now I'm carrying this Gerber in my PFD right now because I have like five PFDs. I can't – I'm not going to buy five of these Spyderco assists. But right now, this is my favorite rescue knife, actually, that goes in the pocket. It's a little bit big, but it's pretty sweet. It's really sweet. Yeah, I mean, we can talk about knives forever. We're not going to. Anyway, Brian, thanks for suggesting that knife for $22 and free shipping. It's hard to beat. Okay, back to here. Sorry to ruin your dreams, person who wants to design a knife. I'm really sorry. Okay. All right, boat brand. What is your favorite boat and why? And if everybody could, hey, worry about this is the last question. So if you have a question, ask in the comments. If everybody could type in their favorite brand, that would be sweet. Because I this show should not just be what I think, because I don't know. That's insane. So if you're watching, you have a favorite boat brand, tell us what it is. This is such a hard question to answer because I love a lot of boats. I learned on Avons. Avons are just awesome boats. And I wish I could buy 1998 Avons right now. Their 2000s kind of went downhill. But if I could buy a, 1998 Avons, I'd buy them all day long. They're just sweet. They're durable. They're Hypalon. They last forever. Easy to fix. Solid designs, like, it's a sweet boat. I think beyond that, I'm going to say Wing with a caveat. I designed most of the current Wing boats, which are based on Avons. I just took the Avon designs and tweaked them, made them a little bit better. They're great boats. They're the best manufacturing, in my opinion, the best material, best designs, I think. My issue with them sometimes is that they're not like dedicated whitewater rafting. They're really still a military contractor that makes some rafts for rafters. And so they just have a lot of little mistakes. Like I just saw my boats on the Rogue last week and all the labels are coming off. All the expensive labels I paid for are coming undone because they didn't do a great job. And I'm not sure if they just, I'm not sure if they don't care that much or they haven't practiced enough. I don't know. Here's actually a couple of thwarts. The thwarts are a couple, I have about eight of these thwarts that they made where the D-rings are popping. I mean, it's so big. And so, I'm very frustrated with this because I have to deal with it. And they're, and when this happens on a river like the Illinois, which is where this happened, it's a major bummer. It's a safety issue. And they shouldn't be popping after whatever this was, like 3 or 4 years old. That shouldn't happen. And the way they attach with these four things to the thwarts is inadequate. So I'm not happy with the way they attach up the words. I'm not happy with some of the quality stuff here and there. I'm not happy. I'm not 100% stoked, but for me, this is my favorite brand. I like the designs. I like the material. I like the workmanship, but if I recommend Wing to everybody and they have some of the similar issues I have, I'll feel really bad. So I want to caveat it with I've had some issues and it's not the material. It's not the design. It's not the manufacturing. So that's the manufacturing. It's just a bunch of little things where I'm like, oh, man, I wish they had somebody there I wish they were dedicated to whitewater and had somebody in-house who was a boater who could see, I could look at these things and be like, yep, that handles are too big. Why are they putting handles on that big? That's insane. So I have a bunch of boats with the wrong size handles. So other than Wing, Sotar is, I think, making really cool stuff, really innovative stuff right now. Air is great. The 10-year warranty is amazing. If this happened on an airboat, Air would probably pay for shipping to have it fixed because they'd be super embarrassed. Where Wing hasn't responded to the email I sent 3 weeks ago, which is frustrating. I'm just venting about it. Jeff says High Side's doing some cool stuff. So I'd say top tier for me is Wing. Next tier down is probably Air, Sotar. Historically, I'd put Moravia there, but I've heard too many quality things recently. Maybe they're fixed, maybe they're not. The tier below there is probably High Side, NRS Hypalon boats, which I own a bunch because we have them in Idaho and I use them. They're fine. And then the tier below that would be all the PVC boats, like Rocky Mountain, Vanguard, PVC stuff. hopefully that helps answer that question. It is wing. You tell I'm frustrated with some wing stuff right now. But still, they're amazing boats. They're also very expensive. So it's not for everybody. Okay, we're about to shut this show down. Brian says he prefers it over a Spyderco bird. Prefer what, Brian? Wait, are you the one that suggested the... Hold on. Brian, you prefer the Maxim 5-inch saltwater over the Spyderco bird? That is high praise. That man, maybe I'll buy one. Really? Oh man, I'm gonna buy one. I don't need to buy more river knives, but like, man, the bird's a sweet knife. So that's high praise. And then B Team Adventures, what kind of is yours? I think you're talking about knife. If you're talking about this one, this is the Gerber Easy Out Rescue Knife. It's a great knife. It's just tried and true. It's solid. You can't go wrong. If you just want a good, well-made knife made by a knife manufacturer, that's what this knife is. And I keep coming back to it. I'd call this the working man's river knife. You know, you can't afford anything fancy. You know, you just want something that's like affordable, solid, good value for the money, does the job. This is the working man's river knife. Do I have any of the Spyderco knives are like the Ferraris, in my opinion. They're just sweet. They're the Porsches. They're the Ferraris. You're paying extra. You're getting something better. Yeah, but like this one's sweet. Hope that answers that question. So I think with that, we're done with the show. I want to thank everybody for watching. We might have a show in 2 weeks. I'm going to see if I can pull it off. But it might be a month. So it's a busy time of year for me. So we'll see what I can pull off in a couple weeks. And I just want to thank everybody for watching. Content's going to be a little slow coming out the next couple weeks. But we'll pick up again in September when things slow down a little bit. And yeah, thank you all for watching. Thanks for supporting the show. Thanks for being here. Thanks for everybody who asked questions. And I'll see you all, in a couple to 4 weeks.